A woman, eyes waxing, weary, long-haired and distant, makes her way down the silent high street. Past closed bookshops and empty restaurants, she remembers the chatter of customers queuing outside Paddy's Butchers, and beery laughter spilling through the narrow doors of the George. Behind them, quieter, she hears carols ghosting the town square. Fainter still, the footsteps of Dr. Brooks, hurrying to meet with town leaders to tell them of his plans to save them from the drunkenness for which the town is renowned. Clouds of cheering rise from the Linden Field, punctuated by the crack of starting pistols, signalling the start of Olympian dreams. Just outside, up on the edge of things, each summer at Stokes's barn, stories tumble from tented tongues and alien brogues roll down towards the town, there to meet the songs of poets, whose rhymes and rhythms summon forth waters from the Silurian limestone, on which and of which this town is built. A man, eyes shining, welly booted, tussle-haired and ruddy, paddles his black coracle down the flooded high street. Past closed banks and sandbags, past the chemist's that was an ironmonger's, past the gents' outfitters that was a candle shop, that was, that is, that will be. Carried on rising waters, past the flickerbook of merchants and landlords, past Shite Brook and Holy Wells, like a pilgrim, he floats past Guildhall towards Holy Trinity Church, where the bones of St. Milburger still ensure a healthy crop for Shropshire farmers. Past Priory ruins, the current leads him to Downs Mill, where the slow grind of days mills the kernels of history into a fresh flower. A child, smiling lightly, barefoot, scar-shinned and happy, runs down the busy high street. In his hand, he holds a fossil found on Wenlock's edge. Ammonite memory that the ground beneath his feet was once the bottom of an ancient ocean. This town around him is built of a permeable stone, stone that flows and adapts and endures. He senses the burgage plots behind the shop fronts, counts the rings on the oaks of the timbers, feels the comfort of deep strata. He races on, past Bullring and Bastards Hall, across the school field, cricket ground and bowling green, up Windmill Hill to where a new sail begins to turn, gathering the winds of change. An old woman walks along a wooded path towards a sacred spring, carrying offerings from her tribe. As she walks, past oak, ash and rowan, strange visions rise from the land and permeate her ancient mind. A hoof stamps down and breaks a golden rock. Water flows from the fissure and restores life to a dying girl. Barley grows from seed to harvest in the passing of a single moon. Great buildings taller than a man's reach grow from the golden stone beneath her feet. Smaller buildings spring up around them, made from the same stone. People, more than she has ever seen, flow like a great river through these buildings. They are drawn, as pilgrims, to this place that sits in a bowl upon high ground, like the navel in the belly of a woman, swollen with life-bearing water and about to give birth. Ah, this place, ever-changing and resilient, deep and unfathomable, founded by a holy princess, pierced by sacred springs to irrigate fertile soils, to bring forth generous fields, to feed the mouths of industry. Birthplace of dreams, home to saints and Olympians, farmers and guildsmen, poets and storytellers. Civil war, pestilence, plague and flood have pounded at its doors time after time. Still it stands, still it stands. The old woman places deer flesh and mugwort beside the sacred spring. She sheds her mortal form and dives into water's mouth. Down she swims, deep down, deeper. She emerges in an underground lake, beside which lies a great sleeping dragon. and an eye, older than time, flicks open once more.